Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We heard today from President Trump on Iran following missile strikes by Iraq against U.S. forces based there.
We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases. Our great American forces are prepared for anything. Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world.
And I just want to make sure I said that exactly right. We heard from President Trump on Iran following missile strikes by Iran in Iraq, where U.S. had bases. Just want to make sure I said that right. So the question is, where does this leave our strategy and how do we move forward now with Iran? For more, let's turn to Joel Brenner. He is the former Inspector General of the National Security Agency and head of U.S. counterintelligence in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Now he's a senior research fellow at MIT, and he joins us via Skype. Joel Brenner, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for inviting me back to Radio Boston.
I appreciate having you. So let's start with the situation we're in. First, given everything that's happened in the last week, we've got a drone strike that killed General Soleimani, Iran's response, and now what the president said this morning. Where are we on Iran right now?
Well, as you put it just earlier when you phrased that question, is where are we with our strategy? I think the question is, what is our strategy? And we're in a complicated situation, Tiziana, because everybody, you got to evaluate what's going on, both tactically, but above all, strategically. And the strategic question is, do we want war with Iran? And one feared that the administration, which says it doesn't want a war with Iran, and I think that's right, and the Iranians don't want a war with us, was nevertheless acting in ways that might provoke one, because the taking out of Soleimani was really an escalation.
So let me stop you there. Just ask you a quick question about that. Was there a known goal for the drone strike against Soleimani? And if there was a known goal, do you believe we accomplished it?
It's hard to say. Here's what we might let's try to put the best face on what the administration did. And I say that as anything but an administration booster here. But the administration believes correctly that the Iranian regime is weak, that is weak economically, that compared to us is very weak militarily. And it wanted to punch them hard enough to make them really back down from not only attacking our troops, but from attacking, further escalating affairs throughout the Middle East. And it remains to be seen whether that objective has been attacked, but it's very possibly could work. This was a big punch in the mouth.
So what do you think then was the goal strategically for Iran in the response that it chose?
The administration, look, either it continues to squeeze Iran with the idea that there'll be a war and we can win it, but I don't think that's what they want, or they're trying to squeeze Iran, and then the question is to achieve what? And because one doesn't see, at least visibly, any diplomatic initiatives that are being undertaken at the same time that we're engaging in force to try to negotiate some sort of modus vivendi with the Iranians. At this point, I wouldn't expect to see overt diplomatic overtures because I don't think the Iranians could possibly stand that.
Why?
Because they've already said, their leader has said, that negotiating with the United States in these while this pressure is being put on it would be a sign of weakness and they'll never do it. He said that. But it doesn't mean there wouldn't be behind-the-scenes negotiations through an intermediary, for example. And one would hope that that's going to start to go on. I mean, the Iranians have been, throughout in the Middle East, actively engaged in what you might call gray zone warfare. That, in this case, it's violent activities that are either below the level of armed conflict or below the level that would draw the United States into open hostilities. And they're doing it mainly through cutouts, through third parties, although in the missiles they sent yesterday were sent directly by them. And what the United States is now saying is, this is not going to be gray anymore. This is going to be black and white. So the Iranians have to really think hard about what sorts of violence they can engage in now that would not produce a retaliatory strike of a sort they can't stand.
So then let me ask you, are we safer today here in the United States, or are Americans, let me phrase it that way, safer today than we were yesterday and than we were last week?
You know, very possibly. It's going to depend on the on how this plays out. But, I have to say, this could work. This could work. For example, the Iranians had been
Let me time out for a second, because you've said this could work a couple of times, which is really interesting. What does it look like if it's working?
It means that the Iranians won't attack shipping in the Gulf, that they'll draw in their claws throughout the region, and won't attack our forces. We'd like, ultimately, if anything really works, it's going to have to result in some diplomatic engagement, and that we have not seen.
So you have said, as I noted, this could work a couple of times. What would have to be in place so that your sentence was, this will work?
Oh, I think I don't think anybody can say that, but what would have to be in place to make it more likely that it would work would be a diplomatic engagement, a willingness to by both sides to engage diplomatically, and to put on the table the Iranian nuclear program and Iranian activities throughout the Shia Crescent that stretches from Tehran to Damascus.
I want to go back a little bit. I had asked you if we were safe, maybe we're safer. Have we seen all we're going to see in terms of retaliation from Iran at this point, do you think?
I doubt it. But you've got to remember that even I doubt it. Let's start with what the Iranians did yesterday, which was, compared to what we did, quite weak. It was a missile strike. Involving substantial missiles, but aimed at property, not calculated to kill people. It was a loud bang that didn't do very much, that allowed Trump to say, okay, that we're going to stand still right now. But the Iranians, even before this, were actively engaged in harassment of various sorts against the United States, not to mention Israel and Saudi Arabia. And I would expect to see more of that.
What might future harassment look like? What forms could that take, or are likely to take, based on your assessment?
Look, to go from milder to really extreme, you could see various kinds of cyber attacks. We've seen that before from Iran against American banks in 2012 and 2013 that cost, hundreds of millions of dollars to fight off. We could see that again. We could see cyber strikes against other soft targets. But Cyber Command, which is now has much loosened rules of engagement, would retaliate against those.
U.S. Cyber Command, you mean?
U.S. Cyber Command, yeah. So even there, the Iranians, if they do something really more than a distributed denial of service attacks, should expect retaliation from us. That's it at the sort of one end of things. We could also see attacks against American businessmen, military personnel, and diplomats anywhere in the world. That might be assassinations. We could see Shia militias in Iraq turned loose against American personnel. We could see that.
I understand that you speculated to a couple of our producers that we might even see attacks on Trump properties. Is that right?
Well, I'm not suggesting that that is likely to happen, but imagine the Iranians blew up a Trump hotel. That was it. I was getting to that at the far end of things. Don't want to suggest to your listeners that I think this is likely. But if that happened, then we'd be in the peculiar position of having the president of the United States in a position to use American military resources to defend its private property, which would make everybody uncomfortable, to put it mildly. But, there's a whole range of things involved from targeting individuals, either military, diplomatic, or private, to cyber attacks on property, sort of faster operations tempo in the Middle East through Hezbollah, Hamas, and Shia militias in Iraq. All those things could happen.
So a couple of other questions for you. We had a caller on one of our earlier segments today who suggested that they thought perhaps the president was using this as a way to take troops out of Iraq. And we've heard other, you know, analysts suggest that that is possible. Do you think that that either intentionally or unintentionally has played into the hand of the withdrawal of troops from Iraq over time for the United States?
It's fascinating because one of Soleimani's goals and continues to be an Iranian goal is to get the United States out of the Middle East, out of Iraq immediately, out of the Middle East altogether. Trump also says he wants to do that, but nobody wants to do what the other guy wants. It's a very strange kind of situation in that respect. Many of the Trump's critics will say either he's done this in order to get out, or he's done this in order to stay in big time. You know, they both can't be right. And I think, frankly, the president is undecided as to what he really wants in Iraq. He'd like these wars to stop, but he doesn't want to leave a vacuum for ISIS, for the Islamic State, which is
arguably what happened when the Obama administration, and I do have to point out you served in the Obama administration, pulled troops out of Iraq in 2011. That really arguably led to the emergence of ISIS. So that would be a real consideration here.
Well, I ought to say that I spent more time serving under President Bush than I did under President Obama, but in both cases in a non-political role. And I think it's right to say that I think that President Obama's decision to pull troops, too many troops out of Iraq, was an error. And he then had to put them back. I think we're there for some considerable time. You know, as Colin Powell said years ago, it's a sort of a Pottery Barn rule. You break it, you own it. And we've broken it. The invasion of Iraq was a disaster. The only party that's really gained from it has been Iran.
We have
and we're dealing with that.
We have not a lot of time left. I have two additional questions I want to ask. The first is, how important are our allies right now, and would we be in a better position if we'd involved them prior to the drone strike?
We didn't even involve the leadership in the Congress before the drone strike. I think that the drone strike was taken on short notice. But we need our allies. We need to be closer to them than this president is inclined to be, and that's a serious mistake. The United States does not want to be alone in the world. We have powerful, important allies, and we need to keep them on board. I think they're inclined to be on board at this point. And the Iranians are playing a difficult game because by taking themselves, by continuing to enrich uranium in violation of the agreement that the Europeans still want to keep in place, they're alienating the Europeans. So they're in a tight spot. This is difficult for us, but much more difficult for them.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Joel Brenner is the former Inspector General of the National Security Agency and head of U.S. Counterintelligence in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, now a senior research fellow at MIT. You joined us via Skype. Thanks so much for doing so.
You're most welcome.
And that is our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, Walter Wuthman, and Sarah Rose Brenner. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi, and I'm Tiziana Deering. And I'm inviting you to join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.